truth.
Now unto him. Now unto him who is able, God is able to do immeasurably, exceedingly, abundantly, as it puts it in another translation, more than we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us. What are you believing for here in this month of miracles? What are you believing for? What are you reaching out to God for? Do not try to limit God to your circumstance or even the way you feel that God would work, the way you think God could work. God can do far more than you could possibly ever imagine. And maybe you've been on a bit of a journey. Maybe there's been discouragement. Maybe there's been circumstance and you think it hasn't worked out as you've planned. Look to God who is able. There's a scripture on this next slide where Paul the Apostle is speaking to the church, the Galatian church, and he says, how foolish can you be? After starting your new lives in the Spirit, are you now trying to become perfect by your own human effort? You know, sometimes we think, what can I do? What am I able to bring about? How can I answer the prayers I'm praying for? And that's good. God doesn't want us sometimes to sit by passively, just waiting for everything to happen. But sometimes God is wanting us to believe him for what only he can do. This church, they'd started off in the Spirit. They'd started off really trusting and believing God for their future. But somehow they'd ended up trying to make it all happen by human effort, just like Jacob I spoke about last week tried to do. He was trying to manipulate his circumstances. He was trying to maneuver people in his circumstances to bring about the miracle he was believing for. But he needed to be trusting in God. It says in this next scripture, continuing on two verses later, it says, does God then give you the Spirit and work miracles among you by doing the works of the law or by believing what you heard or by believing in faith? It's not our works. It's not our deeds. It's not our effort. And this might even be going a little bit further. It's not even how long we pray and how hard we pray. We think if I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray and I pray, that's going to be something that God says, well, you put in like about 40 hours. I think I'll do a miracle now. You worked hard enough. Again, we pray for sure. That's a way of expressing faith. It's a way of bringing our hearts before God. But it's not kind of like a reward. God said, oh, gee, you put in, you know, so many hours and hey, you've even fasted. Fasting is really aligning ourselves with God. It's getting ourselves lined up with God and what God the Spirit is wanting to do. And when we fast, it's like just getting our distractions away, getting our thoughts away, and so I'm just going to be focusing my attention on him and him alone, and so that faith can be built in our heart as we believe for what God is wanting to do. We see Jacob in Genesis chapter 28. I spoke last week how he was just pressing into God. He had been through a terrible season in his life and his circumstance. His brother wanted him dead. He says, once your father passes away, you're gone. You're dead. And so Jacob, he flees for his life. He's the grandson of Abraham. He flees for his life. And he was told, I want you to go to Haran. I want you to go to where your uncle is living and start a family there. And so he went for his life and he stopped at a place which was later to be named Bethel, meaning house of God, a place where God would be dwelling. And it was there as he slept, but he came before God. And as he was sleeping, he saw a stairway to heaven. And it said there was angels ascending and descending on that stairway. It's amazing how I think we've got more faith in demons than we have in the angels of God coming to defend those people of faith. We know in the book of Revelation there was a third of the angels got drawn down to earth and, you know, became almost like angels of darkness, demonic influences in the world. But if that's true, that means there's another two-thirds that are hanging around. Twice as many angels as demons. Bad football team, by the way. No. Sorry, Peter. I was thinking this morning, it speaks in the book of Revelation, the seven churches, chapters 2 and 3, to the church of Ephesus, to the angel of the church of Ephesus, I write. Now, I know there's a bit of conjecture exactly what is that referring to. But I believe if there's a whole group of believers that are gathered and there is a church of Jesus Christ gathered, I absolutely am convinced that God sends his angels to be amongst us. How is it we believe that one's got a demon, that one's got a demon, that one's got a... Can't find any angels. There's twice as many. And if they've been sent to be aids and supports and to be enacting God's miraculous program, I am convinced that they are here amongst us, even today. You're thinking, no, yes. And as we begin to pray, what God was showing Jacob as he was seeing that ladder, and the angels ascending and descending, God was revealing to him, there's angels ascending and descending over your life and over your future, over your destiny, over your heritage. In fact, it speaks, Jesus spoke about children, that he sends his angels, doesn't his angels have care over them? In fact, some would even suggest that there might even be angels that are assigned to us as believers, just watching out for us and going before us. Believe God for the supernatural. Believe God to do the powerful things that only he can do. And as he began to pray, God began to speak to him from the top of this stairway. And he said to him, I am with you. I will protect you wherever you go. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you. I'm not going to be going anywhere until you have seen a fulfillment of those things that I have told you that I am going to bring about. And as he woke, he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not realize it. He says, this is none other than the very gateway of heaven. And it's like there is an open heaven over our lives and over our circumstances, over the stuff that is happening in our lives. And sometimes we need to connect with that heavenly reality and to say, I know God is here in this place, and I know God is with me as I go in all that I do. As we by faith receive Jesus Christ into our heart, it brings an open heaven in our circumstance, an open heaven to see the miraculous come to pass. I want to share a story. Wednesday and Thursday, had the just awesome privilege of meeting a pastor. He was speaking at a conference. His name was Rob Kettling. This book has not even yet been released in the United States, where he's from. Well, I've got a copy of it because he brought a whole suitcase full of them. In this book, he shares a story about the miraculous healing of his son. His pastor Rob Kettling's son, his name is Connor. When Connor was born, they realized that he was behaving in a very unusual way, and they could see he had some behavioral issues and some issues. They're thinking, something's not right here, and they took him to a specialist to be diagnosed, and he was diagnosed with autism. He would be sitting there and everything was a train. He was putting everything in a row. He could not look people in the face, you know, and someone would be talking to him and he couldn't look them in the face. So they'd say, to go and do something, and he would get things completely messed up in terms of his communication and talking to people. And so they put him into a special school that was to help children who had autism. And so they put him in the school, and he was in the school for 2 years, hoping that somehow they were going to teach him how to develop communication skills, given the autism that he had. Rob Kettling, he began to pray that God would do something, and he hadn't yet seen a miracle in his life and his situation. Maybe just put this next slide on. Here's a quote from Rob Kettling. He says, stop comparing God to your limitations when you need a miracle. God is galaxies ahead of you. Believe in faith for miracles. And And so he began to believe in God for miracles, even though he had not yet seen the reality of that. He began just pressing in. In fact, after probably weeks and months, he kept pressing in. And he got a bit discouraged. And he think, does God really care about me and this circumstance? But then one day, a visiting preacher came into town. And at the end, he and his wife were gathered there with this preacher. And they said, what do you want to believe God for? And he's thinking, oh, church growth, maybe, you know, a lot of millions of dollars to come in. His wife yells out, heal my son. Yeah, good on you, girl. That's what Pastor Julie said. And he said, okay, we're going to pray. And they prayed over their boy, Connor. He was about 4 or 5 years of age because it was obviously just preschool. All of a sudden, they called Connor's name. And he looked at mum and dad straight in the face. Instead of like, no, looked at him straight in the face. What's happened? He never does that. And then right through this boy that had behavior that was completely sort of outside of what would be typical of a child his age, all of a sudden, in a moment of time, everything completely changed. And they started crying and bawling their eyes out. Because God had done a miracle which only he could do. And so they took this boy, Connor, to the specialist, took him back to school, and they said, oh, what's happened? What's happened? This is just in the space from Friday to Monday. He's back to school on Monday. What's happened? It's Monday. What's happened to this boy? And they said, we prayed for him in church yesterday, and God has done a miracle. And so they took the child to the specialist. They got the specialist who deals with autism. Took him to the specialist. By the way, autism just doesn't go away. They took the child to the specialist, and the specialist said to the parents, told the parents off, how dare you admit your child into a school and have government-funded specialized schooling for autistic kids when your child doesn't have autism? They said, their child did have autism. He's been healed. And that the specialist could not believe that a child with autism could be healed. But God healed him. And knowing that, he went to a regular school, and now he's into his 20s, and he's the connections pastor on the, you know, in the church that their parents are leading. Completely healed by the power of God from that day. And so he shared that story of what God could do. Now on this next slide, this gives a sense of how that happens. You know, in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verse 2, it says, one day there's going to be no more pain, no more weeping, no more crying. We're going to have new bodies. Everything's going to be fixed. We're going to be in the presence of God, enjoying God's presence for all eternity. But when God does miracles, he can bring forward the program. We're all going to be healed one day. Every single issue, every single ailment, completely healed one day when we're in God's presence. What we're saying is, God, in your timing, I want you to bring that forward. I want you to do it now. And so when we ask for a miracle, we're asking him to bring some of heaven, the heavenly reality, just like Jacob and his stairway, some of heaven into our circumstances today. That's what a miracle is, when God brings a taste of eternity into our present. Now God's in charge of the timing and the means by which he's going to bring about miracles. But he is a miracle working God. In this book, Fix It, he was talking about some things God wants us to do. If you're looking for a job, don't wait for someone to call you. You might have to actually go and look up for a job and go and make some inquiries. Some things God wants other people to do, but then there's other things that only God can do. And they're the things where we need to come into his presence and say, God, I'm believing for a miracle in the situation that I am facing right now. You know, the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and petitions let your request be made known to God. And that's why we've got these cards emerging on the back wall. They are our requests. They are the things that we are bringing to God. And so Jacob called that place where he saw the vision, where he saw that stairway, he called that place House of God. This is where your presence is. And it goes on into the very next verse in chapter 29, verse 1, it basically says, if you read the Hebrew, it said that he had a spring in his step. That actually says that all of a sudden he was enemy. And I sometimes have a bit of a spring in my step. Something had happened in Jacob that no longer was he downcast, thinking about his circumstance, thinking about his brother, thinking about his finances, thinking about his protection and his safety. He now began to trust in God for his future. We know that he went on to Haran. God miraculously and supernaturally provided for him a family. And he was reconciled with his uncle, even though things had gone horribly wrong and his uncle tried to cheat him out of his future 10 times. And by the way, you may have a horrible boss. Anyone? I won't ask you to put up your hand. Your boss might be here. Sometimes there are very mean and horrible bosses, you know. Jacob was working for a horrible boss, his uncle Laban. Tried to cheat him again and again and again. I mean, God's got his hand on your life. He can bless you even if you've got a horrible boss. Who believes that's true? Even in the midst of adverse circumstances, God can bless. And Laban knew God was blessing him because his nephew Jacob was with him. And you need to believe that even in the midst of difficult circumstances, God can still bless you. God is not limited by your boss. He's not limited by the workplace. He is a supernatural God, and he can make the way open for you. In fact, God just put this one on my heart. Jacob had married a lady by the name of Rachel. Now, this will blow you away. Even though she had been with him and known him for some 20 years, that's the time that he left his uncle and headed back home again. When they caught up with them as a family and they began to pursue them, Rachel had idols that she had taken from her uncle. Rachel was an idol worshipper. No way! How could that happen? And you may married to a spouse, or you may have adverse circumstances, an unbelieving spouse or someone that is just, I don't know, there's some challenges going on there. Somehow, God had worked in the life of Rachel that his whole family was turned around and the future destiny of his family was turned around. You may be thinking, this is impossible. God can do the impossible. You may have a boss, you may have a relationship, there may be a circumstance that you are dealing with. God can do the impossible for you. You may be thinking, look, I just can't see a way forward. Just believe and look to God through this month that God will do what only He could do. He is a supernatural, miracle-working God. When we ask for a miracle, we're asking Him to bring some of heaven into our circumstances today. That's what a miracle is. God brings a taste of eternity into our present. I'm going to invite Pastor Julie up, and she's going to share about just some of the things that we are just really looking to through this month.
Why don't we stand? Look at all the prayer cards up so far. Praise God. If you haven't filled out a prayer card and you'd like to, there's spare prayer cards over there. You can go now and fill it in, and somebody will be there to pin it up on the wall for you. But, you know, God is able. I was thinking during the week, God is able, but that's who God is. That's who He is. We know He's loving. We know so much. We read the Word of God, but that's who He is. God is able. God is able. And I really believe that as we praise, as we worship, you know, when we pray and worship, things have to change. If we believe God is able, things have to change. You know, we really praise God for that. And you know, I believe, and I've just seen this as I've been praying for you, that as we worship, there are people that are being healed. People, some of you have had a real sense of fear. God wants to deliver you from that, and He wants to fill your heart with faith, because you know in your heart He has healed you. Some of you have had depression. I know I had very severe depression in my 30s, and I was in the middle of worship, and all of a sudden something lifted. And I thought, what was that? And I felt the Holy Spirit say, I have taken that off you. He has, and it was in the middle of worship that He does that. You know, some of you have carried heavy burdens, and the Lord just wants to let you know He's carrying you. He's carrying you through them. Have you got challenges financially? God wants, He will provide. He will provide for you as we have faith and as we live according to what He has asked us to do. For those that need healing, you've struggled for a long time. I need healing. And just slowly over time, my hands have been coming more steady. I was worshiping this morning and I thought, Lord, I couldn't hold a microphone. I haven't been able to do that, as you know, for a long time. And you know what? Even though I still have a little tremor, I'm believing. I'm believing in worship. I'm believing. And you know what? This does not stop me from worshiping God. And I want to encourage you, whatever you are facing, do not let it stop you from worshiping God. Do not allow that to sit on you. This is a miracle month. This is a miracle month. It's a miracle month. And we are believing for miracles. Are you believing for a miracle? You're believing. Sometimes we don't see them, but miracles happen when we pray, because God is able, and He has a desire to touch our lives even more than we want it for ourselves. God loves us. He yearns to just fill us and answer our prayers. We're going to sing this theme song again. Again, if you haven't put your card up, you're welcome to go do that now. But let us sing this theme song and say, Lord, I have faith for miracles. And in this worship, let the Holy Spirit touch your lives. Lift your hands as we worship. Reach out to the Lord. The Holy Spirit is here. The tide is rising. The tide is rising as we worship. The atmosphere is changing, and it's not what we can do, but it's what He can do. Call out to the Lord. Believe in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.